grace will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked out all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I can't wait until that day, where the very one I've lived for always will wipe away the sorrow that I face. Oh, the church, the scars that rescued me from a life of shame and misery. Oh, this is why I sing. No more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. There will be a day when no more tears, no more pain, no
this is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hebrews chapter 11. By faith these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and they received what God promised them. Now those are three pretty powerful things right there, isn't it? These were first covenant believers. They overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Father, I pray that every one of us in this room and those who will listen and your people at large will receive what God has promised us. Not part of it, but all of it. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was what? Their downfall? No. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Do you realize what's going on right now? We're becoming strong in battle too. It's in battle where you become strong as a warrior. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Let me tell you, there are armies of demons that are being sent to flight by the people of God who recognize your authority. Women, any ladies in the house? Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. Didn't say men. You mighty women, warrior women. First covenant, standing and believing God for their children, their loved ones. Maybe even a husband there, like my wife did. But others trusted God and were tortured. Don't like that part so much. We like the earlier part better, right? Sure. But there are others. The enemy will always point out the others, and he would like all of us to say that we're all others, but many of us need to realize that God wants us to be in this earlier group where you're overthrowing kingdoms, ruling injustice, receiving what God has promised, becoming strong in battle, seeing your loved ones brought back from death, literally from death. But if God so chooses to allow you or me to be one of these others, then do not be weak-hearted or faint, because God is faithful to the others as well. Others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. Now you understand this battle that's going on with the others. They're being put on the line. Will you reject God so you can still be kept alive? They said, we will never reject or turn away from our God. Preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free, they placed their hope in the resurrection. We all need to have that hope already determined in the resurrection. I really would like to go up in the rapture, is what I'd like to do, because I don't like the idea of the process of dying. I'm a little weak that way. Probably none of you, but I would prefer just for the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ to be raised up, John, and then for us to be caught up in the air and just say, hallelujah, we're with the Lord, right? But there are others. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Now, we just read how some escaped the edge of the sword, but there were others who were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats and hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts, mountains, hidings in caves, holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith. Because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had, you got to get this, God had far better things in mind for us. Through Christ, right? Through the Spirit. Far better things for us that would also benefit them. For they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. We're still in the race, aren't we? Still running. The race is not over. We are still running the race. In these days right now, I was just trying, as I looked over our city and our region and looked at some of the news, and realized that the enemy would love to kill us all off and has attempted to do that in a rather significant and serious manner. However, God's Holy Spirit has sustained us. In this room alone, several of you have already, of us, have already had this coronavirus. And God has sustained us. God has delivered us. In fact, as I was thinking about it, we may have close to 50% of our congregation that have had the coronavirus. Now we have Jesus antibodies. We had Jesus before, now we have Jesus antibodies. But, you know, this has been going on for a long time. And it would seem that it should be over. But you know what? It's not over. In fact, the community and the medical community, I was listening to Dr. Crandall, and he was talking about the hospitals in Palm Beach County, that they're absolutely packed. Here in Martin County, hospitals absolutely packed. St. Lucie County, absolutely packed. And so in the midst of all of this, there is again this spirit of fear. Do you realize that the enemy just has not given up with this? A spirit of fear that is pressing in. And so this morning, again, living ready. God wants us to live ready so nothing catches us off guard. That we are prepared spiritually. We are prepared mentally. We are prepared emotionally. We are prepared physically. We are prepared for anything the enemy throws at us because we walk and live and move in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God is never caught off guard. I may be caught off guard. You may be caught off guard. God is never caught off guard. The first verse that we're going to go to, the first passage of these 3 points, is in Matthew chapter 10. This is a familiar scripture, but I want for you to join me there. Maybe we'll get it up on the screen. But Matthew chapter 10, and we are going to go to verse 10:28. Don't be afraid. Let's say that together. Don't be afraid. Let's say it again. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. They can only kill your body. Right? They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Look at 29. Not even a sparrow, worth only half a penny, can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to Him than a whole flock of sparrows. Don't be afraid of them. Fear not them. Them what? Them who? Any disease. Any demonic spirit. Any man. Any political party. Any agenda. Don't fear them. You know, I was thinking about all the times Jesus said, fear not. How many times in the Word of God, fear not, fear not, fear not. And then how many times Jesus would say, only believe. Only believe. Do you know fear and faith do not operate together? They cannot function together. Either faith is going to be operative or fear is going to seek to take dominance in our minds, in our spirit, and in our life. Do not fear them. Whatever, whoever, the reports of man, the reports of the doctors, they're simply not in charge. But we're to trust God. And we are to have reverential respect of God, who is the only one who is really sovereign over both the body and the soul. Fear them not. All right, let's go to another scripture. This is in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. And in Revelation 12, let's look at verse 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has happened at last. The salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accused our brothers and sisters before our God day and night. And then verse 11, and they have defeated him. Who? Satan. They defeated him. Because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of their testimony. And they were not afraid to die. I believe the King James says something like this. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I believe we not only need to do a faith check with Matthew 10:28, where we simply say, I will not live in fear of man or demons or anything in this world. I will not give place to it, to them. This passage is a passage that calls us to plead the blood and testify with our mouth, I will not give in to fear of him. The devil himself will not do it. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints shuts the power of the devil down. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we will not fear them which kill the body. We will not fear him that seeks to destroy the church, because we know that's what he came to do. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, right? He is the author of every lie. So we will not fear Satan, will not fear him. And then there is a third area, and that is that we will not fear death itself. No fear. No fear. The morning they scraped me up from the road after pronouncing me dead in the street, leaving me there for to bleed for 45 minutes. Eventually, they had taken care of everybody else, and they came back to figure out what was left of me. And one thing really stands out in my mind about that day, and it was this: as I was in the road, and I heard the officer say, "It's too bad he's gone." And so, you know, when you hear something like that, and yet you're hearing someone say, "It's too bad you're gone," and you realize that you're not gone, and I'm trying to say, "I'm not gone, I'm still here." But I wasn't able to speak, but I was able to hear. And so I could hear death being pronounced over my body. But then there was another proclamation that was being pronounced, and it was being pronounced by people who were praying in the Spirit. And I noticed that as long as they were praying, I didn't know if they were singing, if they were praying. I thought maybe it was angels. I didn't know if I was on earth, if I was in heaven. I didn't know. You know, I'm laying there. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't see anything. I'm just hearing this officer say, "It's too bad he's gone. He's dead." And so I heard the pronouncement of death. But what I didn't understand was that I was still on earth, and God had people around me that were speaking life. So at that very moment where the enemy was desiring to take my life, God planned to preserve my life and to restore my life. And so I realized at that time, because I wasn't really sure what was going on, I realized that either way, whether I went to be with the Lord or whether I would stay, in either condition, I was at total peace in God. Now, the one thing I noticed, as long as I could hear the praying, and it was in the Spirit, it was in the Holy Spirit, I could not understand the words. God did not give me understanding. I could hear this. There were songs and there were prayers in the Spirit. It was like a choir. And so when this was going on, I had no pain, none whatsoever. I felt like I was just lifted up on a cloud. I literally felt like I was being suspended in the air. And so I'm experiencing all of this. And then eventually I heard someone speak to me, and I was able to respond. Someone said, "I wonder who he is." And God gave me the voice to say, "I'm Jonathan McLean. The phone number for the church office where I pastor is 772-220-0602. Same number we have today. Someone was standing there and they were looking to take a number down. They wrote down my name and took the number down. And then I lost the ability to communicate again. And then the next time I'm in the ambulance and they're taking vitals and doing all the different stuff they're doing. I don't even know what I said there, but I realized I'm still here on earth alive. So I'm not the only one in this room that have had near-life experiences. The world's calling them near-death experiences. For us, we're not dying. We're going to have a life experience. We go from temporal to eternal. And so we have no fear of death of the natural man. I don't like the idea. I don't like the process. But I like the end result. And that is the presence of God. So we fear not death. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah 59, and let's run over there together. Isaiah 59, let's drop down to verse 19. Isaiah 59, and let's drop down to verse 19. If you read the earlier verses, 14 and following, you see the condition of the land. Courts oppose people who are righteous. Justice is nowhere to be found. Truth falls dead in the streets. That's all in verse 14. Fairness has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone. Anyone who tries to live a godly life is soon attacked. That was the condition of where Literally, all hell was breaking loose in the nation. However, the Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he, who? God. God himself stepped in to save them with his mighty power and justice. Look at verse 17. He put on righteousness as his body armor. I like the New Living Translation. Put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation. Have you heard about any of these pieces of military, spiritual military equipment? Here it is. He placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with the robes of vengeance and godly fury. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes in distant lands. Then, here's verse 9. Then, at last, they will respect and glorify the name of the Lord throughout the what? World. The entire world. The day's coming when God is going to be glorified throughout the whole world, for he will come like a flood, tide driven by the breath of the Lord. When the enemy, if you have a King James translation, it's going to say something like, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard against him. Verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Jerusalem, says the Lord, to buy back those in Israel. And this is my covenant with them. Verse 21, my spirit will not leave them, neither will these words I have given you. Yes, the enemy has infiltrated many levels of our nation. But God is not ignorant of it, and we are not fearful of them or him or death. So the enemy does not have anything on you. Listen to the word. If the enemy cannot torment you with fear of them or fear of Satan or fear of death, then the devil has absolutely nothing on you. He cannot do one thing to you if you recognize this morning that the devil's defeated, all of those who work for him are defeated, and I have power and authority to speak with my mouth that the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased me, has redeemed me, has covered me, has placed me within the family of God. And though the enemy may come in, I like to say like a flood, God has raised up a standard against him. And he has no authority against us. Literally, fear is defeated where faith stands. Where faith stands. So yes, the enemy seeks a spot to come in. I suspect I'm not the only one that has had a spirit of fear that has got a hold of me before. I've experienced it. It's a wicked thing. It's a scary thing to have that spirit of fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. Church, whether you're watching today, whether you're going to stream or you're going to catch us on the radio, church, listen, God has not ever, ever, ever given the church a spirit of fear. He will not leave us in fear at this time in our nation. We need to resist the devil. We need to resist death. We need to declare that the blood of the Lamb has purchased us and that we're overcomers through the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. We need to claim our identity and stand against the death angel at this time. at this time.